My favorite part of the VBS was the spy training with the stories. And of course, what we were looking at is the parables. And one of the parables we looked at, you guys remember the story of the lost son? Remember the kid? You kids, you remember that? Remember that? Now, we're gonna read from that story again today. And you may know the story as the story of the prodigal son. Now, whether you're from church or not from church, you'd have heard the idea of what is the prodigal son. It's something that finds itself in culture. We just know that phrase. And what it means is somebody's gone away, somebody's left the family, somebody's gone away and done things that they probably shouldn't have done. And so for kids who were at VBS this week, we did the story of the lost son, right? But we left part of it off. And so there is another son. There is two sons in this story, and we only talked about one of those sons. Today we're going to read the whole story, and we're going to talk about the other son. Now, it's really important because this is a parable, which means that there's a hidden message. A hidden message for those who hear it. And it really, what you need to do is pay attention to the heart of the father. You need to pay attention to the heart of the younger son when he was leaving. And then you need to pay attention to the heart of the younger son when he returned. And then what I want you to do is to pay attention to the heart of the older son. Because there's an older son, and we didn't talk about it. So kids, if you were there this week, I want you to tell me afterwards what you think about the older son. And so let's just listen to this. This is God's word. This is Jesus talking. He said this: there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the property that's coming to me. Give me my inheritance now." And so he divided the property between the two sons. So some went to one son and the rest went to the other son. Not many days later, the younger son, even after having gotten his inheritance, he got it, he gathered all he had, and he took a journey into a far country where he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and that citizen sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs were eating, but nobody gave him anything. He wasn't even allowed to eat the pig food. But when he came to himself, there's a change here in this guy's heart. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my dad's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I am perishing here for hunger? I'm going to get up and go to my father, and I'm going to say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. So maybe just treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants," he didn't even get to finish his speech. "The father said to the servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found.' And they began to celebrate." So that was where we left off. Remember that? Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound." But he, the older brother, was angry, and he refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. He pleaded with him. But he answered his dad, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting. It was good to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. Now think about this: the son, the younger son's heart as he was leaving. He had already received his inheritance, but he didn't want to have his inheritance and his dad. He didn't want to be his father's son. And this is a parable talking about who we are, every single one of us with God, where we value the things that God gives us. He gives us creation, and he gives us all these wonderful things, and we value those things more than God. In fact, we would want those things, but we don't want to be God's children. We don't want to be in a place where he is in charge of us, he's taking care of us, and he tells us what to do. And so this younger son treasured the things of his father more than his father himself, and so he left. But then there's this amazing, amazing point in the story where it says that the son came to himself. His heart changed when he realized what a treasure it would be to be part of his father's household. And he wanted to be part of his father's household. And even if that meant, and it did mean, that his father would get to tell him what to do. And so he came to his senses and he turned back. And this is a picture in the Bible of something called repentance. We talked about repentance a lot this week at VBS. It essentially means that there's a change in your heart where you turn your back on living as an enemy of God, where you turn your back on living independent of God, and you say, I want to be God's son or daughter. I want him to be in charge of me. I want that relationship with him. Now, a lot of us, all of us, have turned away from God and have lived sort of independent of him. Now, maybe because we don't like that he gets to tell us what to do, even though he's the one who's given us all these things. We may disagree with some of his rules for us, and we just think that we are wise enough. And yet there's this thing that needs to happen in our heart, which the Bible calls repentance, where we realize how foolish it would be to live as an enemy or a stranger of God, and how we instead treasure being the children of God instead. It's called repentance. And that's what the change that happened in that younger son. A change that needs to happen in each one of us. But then I want you to notice the heart of the father. The father is waiting. He's waiting for this son. And even though he's a long way off, this son has this speech all prepared. And the father interrupts him in that speech and instead grabs him, embraces him, kisses him, gives him a ring and gives him a robe signifying, you are my son. All that has been lost because of your sin is now restored at my cost. Now, some of you, as you're hearing that story, would have been surprised perhaps by the father's response. But you know what? I think a lot of you weren't surprised by it. Why? Because this story has been told far and wide to the ends of the earth. We've heard about a God who forgives people who repent and turn to him. But this is not how it should have been, and this was incredibly surprising the first time the world heard this story from the lips of Jesus. The Father's heart, he loves it when people repent. He loves it even though we've sinned against him and we've rebelled against his rules and we thought they were terrible rules. And he loves it when we repent, and he loves to restore it. Now I want you to think about the older son's heart. This older son. The older son who had never sinned against his dad. He hated that his younger brother, who had sinned, was being reconciled into the household. And he refused to celebrate with his father. Now remember what had happened at the beginning of the story. Half of the inheritance went to the younger son. So all that was left was what? The possession of the older son. Which meant he's now going to have to share his inheritance with his foolish younger brother. And he was angry about that. He was angry about that. Notice also that at the end of the story, there's only one of his sons who's celebrating and in the joy of the feast. And that's the younger son. And the older son is outside of the father's joy. Now, this story is a parable. And it's meant to get us to long for, to hope for the fact that God is like that father in that story. That we long for. We're counting on the fact that God is like the Father in that story. It's meant to make our hearts long for that, to want that. But it's also meant to make us long for that our older brother, that God's son, would be way different than the older son in this story. Our hope is that the Son of God is way different than the son of this father. Because Jesus is the Son. He is the Son of God eternally, and he is God himself, and he has never disobeyed God. And when we rebelled against God, for us to come back, it meant that Jesus would have to share in his inheritance with us. And the beautiful thing about the gospel is this, that the Son of God, even though we had rebelled against God, the Son of God left heaven and joined us in that pigsty. And he got what we deserved so that we can share in his inheritance. And you've seen the symbol of the cross around the world. And what it means is it symbolizes an event that actually took place where God's Son came down from heaven, lived a perfect life, and then he hung on a Roman cross under real Roman rulers in history, witnessable by thousands of eyewitnesses, where the oldest son, the only Son of God, hung on our place so that if we repent and believe in him, if he's our Savior, if we're counting on him, then we could enjoy his seat at the table forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he is delighted. It says in the Bible that it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. He, completely opposite of the older brother in this story, the oldest son in this story, it was his pleasure that sinners would be welcomed back, would be welcomed to the table of God. Now, maybe this is the first time you've heard this, and maybe you've heard it a million times. But I wonder if God would be working this repentance in your heart, where you would change and say, it is more precious than being independent and calling my own shots and doing whatever I want. It is more precious to be God's child than to go my own way. And I have sinned against God, and that you would long to be reconciled. And the offer of the gospel is this, that if you would repent, if you would say, I don't want a life independent of God, I want to be his obedient child, if you would repent and trust in Jesus to pay that he had paid for that on the cross, then his promise is, God's oath to you is that he will receive you as a child. You will be forgiven. All your sin is paid for by the older son. And you'll be welcomed in Jesus' place forever. That is what we are about as a church. That's what we love. We're not a church who's helping people to get better so that they can earn their way into heaven, but to rejoice because the older son has come and he has died and he has risen from the dead in our place. And if you would like to learn more about that, to hear more about what happened in history, attested by thousands of eyewitnesses, if you'd like to hear more about that, or if you would like people to welcome you as a brother or sister and to remind you of that and to help you to rejoice and to never forget that. That is who we are as a church family. And we would be delighted if you would come and join us and help us to remember that too, because we are also prone to forgetting that as well. I'd like to invite you to stand with me as we pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that when we come to the realization of what we've done, our rebellion against you, even the foolishness of disagreeing with you about your rules, your commands, we're so grateful that when we come to that realization of where we are and what we've done and the punishment awaiting us, that you also have given us your Son to take the things that we deserve, to take our punishment and that being put out of the family. And Lord, I am so grateful. We are so grateful that Christ has come in our place. And Lord, for those who are just now maybe coming to their senses, realizing how good it would be to be your child, Lord, I pray that you would give them faith. Show them how worthy Christ is as a Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would work that in us. Lord, I pray that you'd care for us. Right now, we want to pray for those people who are suffering right now. We pray that you'd care for their needs, those who are sick or lonely, those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, or those who are in need or lonely. Lord, I pray that you would care for them, but that also that you'd use us as a way of loving them and caring for them. Lord, we pray for those who have trusted in you around the world, who love being your children because of what Jesus has done, and yet this is costing them dearly because people are killing them because they love you. And Lord, I pray you'd strengthen them, encourage them, give them grace to forgive those who hurt them. And Lord, I pray that you'd carry them all the way until the end, until you receive them into your kingdom. And Lord, we also want to pray for our meal today. Thank you that